What?
Step into the spotlight. Hey, hey. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Across College Lacrosse. I am Chris Dostremskin, and once again, we're not talking about college lacrosse. This is another short pro lacrosse episode, and we are talking about schedules, just like on the College Lacrosse website, which you should check out. We just crossed number 31 with Bucknell. We have a few other schools on tap. We should be churning those out still, and once others are released, we will do the same with those as we did last year and as we try to always do, because schedules are fun and they are also good for content for our site. But for now, we talk about pro lacrosse schedules, and the MLLs got released today at noon, and I had a chance to talk to MLL Commissioner Sandy Brown about the schedules. A lot of weekend games this year, and that's a big thing that the players were asking for. There are a total of 58 weekend games, only 14 weekday games, and the league is also trying to limit doubleheader weekends. The All-Star game is on ESPN2, July 27th at the beautiful Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. And the championship game at a site to be determined is on September 29th on ESPN News. And the league also goes back to a Final Four championship weekend-like format with the semifinals on the 27th. Location will be at a date to be determined. All-Star game format also to be determined. Games will be on ESPN, its family of networks, and LSN. ESPN Plus will have their Game of the Week package as well, along with the two games on ESPN2 and ESPN News. Commissioner Brown discussed that, a few other things, and also gave us a quick update on the rebranding process of Major League Lacrosse, and it's all positive on that end. So without further ado, we will go right to the interview with Sandy Brown. And joining me right now, it's been a short time since we met, MLL Commissioner Sandy Brown joining us to discuss the 2019 Major League Lacrosse schedule announced today, matter of fact. And Sandy, some more great times coming ahead for Major League Lacrosse.
Looking forward to it. We have a very robust schedule this year with some tweaks that are going to be good for the players and the fans, and we're excited.
Let's go right into those tweaks. The big thing that's been highlighted is 58 weekend games, or one of the big things, 58 weekend games, only 14 weekday games. What was the big thing in deciding that? I know a lot of the players wanted to focus more on the weekend games, but from your end, was there another aspect of that?
No, I think we're trying to be as player friendly as we possibly can. I think it's no surprise that a number of the players were not happy about having to play Thursday games, so we've tried to cut a lot of those down. We're focused on trying to put together a schedule that is going to serve a lot of masters. And as you know, it's when you schedule, it's not an exact science, but we're trying to be a little more scientific about it this year. And we have a new entity we brought in to help us with all of our scheduling. I think that's, that investment has paid off.
Let's start with opening weekend. Let's start with that Friday the 31st. Denver, New York, Atlanta, Florida. Florida for the first two games. Was it big to have Denver, the defending champions, open up the season? I know the NFL does that. NBA sort of kind of does that. From your aspect, I know probably you want to have the
same. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. As you know, they've won three championships in the last 6 years, and they've been a lot of fun to watch, and they'll be as fun, if not more fun, to watch this year. So we're excited about having them open the season for us.
Would you have rather wanted to see them open the season at home so they could have some kind of banner ceremony?
Well, it really comes down to schedule availability venue availability, and that's really one of the things that we've had to struggle with a bit this year. Really, that comes into play more into September, just as we're getting into football season and dealing with multi-purpose facilities. I think it's the way things shaked out, Denver's going to have plenty of games in Mile High, and so we're certainly excited about the first game that they're going to be playing there.
Let's dive into the bulk of the schedule now. You know, schedules are always tough to build, and you have GotPro to help you guys build the schedule this year. What went into building a schedule? Was there any big things that you wanted to at least keep? I know the big thing was the 4th of July game with the Outlaws. Anything else you wanted to at least keep in there that previous schedules had?
Well, I think certainly the 4th of July, making sure that we had a dark week. Oh, sorry. 4th of July game, yes, and then we had a dark week for All-Star. And that was important. Reducing a lot of the Thursday games was again, as we discussed earlier, was important. Creating a Final Four concept, which we haven't done in probably 5 years, 5 or 6 years. That's something we're excited about. So, and then obviously, I think as important as anything else, the fact that we're taking the season, we've moved the season to start on May 31st and end at the end of September.
Another big thing that I'm going to highlight here, you have two games on the ESPN family networks. You have the All-Star game, which will be at, I guess, the best lacrosse facility out there, Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium in Annapolis. That game will be on July 27th. That game's on ESPN2. MLL Championship game will be on September 29th at the site to be determined on ESPN News. Working with ESPN, was it tough? Were you trying to get both games on ESPN2? What was the whole thing there with one game on one and the other game on the other?
It just was, I mean, at the time that the deal was done, it was a factor, it was really a function of what was in their schedule, where we had traditionally ended the season. I would tell you that is probably going to be up for discussion, given the fact that we're ending the season when we are. So I think all of this is going to be somewhat iterative, but look, we're excited that we've got linear carriage for those two games, and I would certainly like to see if there's an opportunity to be able to get both games on ESPN2, but at the end of the day, that really is a function of their decision.
Going back to the All-Star game for a second, now last year with the FIL World Championships coming, you had the MLL All-Stars or a group of MLL All-Stars against Team USA. With no FIL World Championships this year, are we going to see another East-West game or a team Pinnell against Team Thompson kind of thing? What's going to be the All-Star game format, if you can deep tell us, if you can?
We don't have that. We don't have that nailed down at this point. As you probably know, we brought in Buddy Rose from the Pistons, mm-hmm. who I think is going to be very helpful to us as we, look at what we do for All-Star Weekend. I think we're going to also do some things that are going to be. Well, I can't tell you what the format is because, candle, we haven't decided. But I will tell you that we're probably going to do some things that we may not have done in the past that are going to be a bit more exciting for the fans. I think the game is in need of some experimentation, and we may use that opportunity to do that. So I can't tell you what that is right now, but I can tell you it's something that we are thinking about.
The women's leagues, the UWLX and the WPLL, along with Team USA, few weeks ago, they played under experimental rules. Was that something that you were looking at that brought up your idea of maybe implementing some of those things possibly?
No, I think it's really more from the perspective of the game, the evolution of the game. Do we look at, and I'm just spitballing here, but do we look at as an exhibition during that All-Star weekend, do we look at doing sort of seven aside kind of thing? Do we look at sort of creating our own Braveheart, which we see more in the youth leagues? I mean, look, I think it's this is this weekend is for the fans, and it's incumbent upon us to be creative in terms of what we do. So I don't know what that is. I mean, but I think we want to use it as an opportunity to probably be a bit more expansive in our thinking in terms of trying to create an environment that is going to be fun and enjoyable and somewhat provocative, to be candid with you.
With your schedule and the weekend games, have you talked to, I'm guessing you have talked to, the UWLX commissioner and the WPLL commissioners trying to, you know, grow the game and have doubleheaders with those leagues? Or is that a thing that we might be seeing later before the season starts?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're a big supporter of the women's game. As you know, we did a number of doubleheaders last year. We thought those went well. They felt they went well. And I would tell you that we'll probably do the same this year. As a matter of fact, I know we'll do the same this year. Under what construct, I can't tell you that at this point, and because I don't know. But, you know, we're very, very supportive of what they're doing, and we want to see the women's game succeed at all levels, and we're certainly going to do our part.
Take me through how long the schedule was constructed. When did you guys start looking at building the 2019 schedule? How many drafts did you go through? Why these matchups? And then any other like interesting quirks that, you know, the common fan might not know?
I will tell you that there are a number of changes this year versus what we've done in the past. I mean, ostensibly the fact that we're basically increased the number of games. We've moved the season from the middle of starting the middle of April to the end of September. We're looking at a Final Four concept. We're trying to reduce the number of weekday games. We're having to manage facility availability because of the fact that we've moved into September. And it's good for us because these are all things that I think are going to bode well for us going forward and being knowing understanding how to handle this because I'm completely wrong about this, but I expect that we'll probably look at even taking it deeper into the fall as we go forward.
One of the big things you mentioned earlier was sharing with the multi-purpose facilities. You know, the Lawns share one with FAU, the Outlaws have it with the Broncos. What's going to be the key there to try to at least get those games in August and in September and not conflict with some of those other previous events scheduled?
Well, it's as we know, football has a lot to do with all that, and so it's and we'll be doing some mixing and matching. Look, ultimately, we need to be able to have every one of our teams needs to be able to have its own facility, and that's obviously something that we're very much looking forward to. But until such time as that happens, then we have to improvise and work around the constraints that we've got.
And then I know Matt Abbott said that this was this will offer the greatest experience for the player. Have you gotten the same kind of reaction from other players that you've talked to so far when you guys were talking about the rebrand earlier this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that they've been included in the conversation has been very important, whereas they haven't been in the past. I think their input is very important, and quite frankly, we're gonna tap into their input for a lot more as we go forward, because at the end of the day, we have to build a league that's going to serve a lot of different masters, and we wanted to make it as player friendly as we possibly can. And as you and I have discussed in the past, I mean, this is not a sprint, it's a journey, and we make certain steps, and I think this is an important one. So we look forward to a lot more input from our players in really everything that we do, I think that's going to ultimately just be a big benefit to the league.
One thing that just came in my mind, and I know it might not be happening this year, but maybe in future years, are you looking at the idea of maybe having double headers in the regular season at neutral sites to just expand the game? I know last year was Charleston before the MLL championship. Do you think that might be in the works later on? Are you looking into that? Is that something you're interested in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're very much interested in that. And I mean, look, it happens all over the place. It's, as you know, it's football does that on a regular basis. And I think it's exciting. It's exciting for the fans to be able to watch a game in a place they probably haven't seen it before. That's a major facility. So I expect that we'll, as we get our sea legs under us in the season of 2019, we'll be thinking much farther afield on all of that stuff as we look at the outer years.
One final thing about the schedule, going back to the GotPro feature, how big was it that you had GotPro on your side, and what did they say that you guys were a little bit surprised about compared to previous years building the schedule?
To be candid with you, Chris, I didn't spend a lot of time with them on this. This is really something that Colin Keane spent time on them with, so I can't give you that perspective. All I know is that they are, these guys know what they're doing, and they have a lot of other teams and leagues that use them. And I think, thus far we've been very happy with what they've been able to do. I mean, it's a productivity issue. Putting together a schedule is very time consuming, and it's painstaking. And to be able to, automate this, to use for lack of a better term, in the manner that we did this year, I think is going to be a big plus for us going forward. It saves us a lot of time and angst. So.
And then one final thing, if you're able to, can you give us a quick update on what the whole rebranding process is, if any?
Yeah, we're narrowing it down. I think Troika has done a really tremendous job, done a fabulous job actually in terms of the things they've come up with. So we're working diligently to get this put to bed, but we couldn't be more enthused with the ideas they've come up with, and they've just been great partners. And I think I'm one of the things I'm amazed at how swiftly these guys work, and the quality with which they work. So we're very happy from what we've seen thus far.
Schedule's coming out. The rebrand's coming out. Even your counterparts, the NLL, the Box League, is agreed to a whole new CBA. Pro lacrosse seems pretty well right now, finally, after a few weeks of questions. Sandy Brown, thank you for your time. It sounds like you're about to have some delicious dinner. I could hear the chime in the background. What are you having?
I am having a chicken roll from Arthur Avenue.
Okay.
And if you've never been to Arthur Avenue in the Bronx, you should go to Peter's Meat Market and get chicken rolls. They are absolutely outstanding.
Food suggestions and lacrosse podcast. You can't go wrong with that. Commissioner, enjoy that dinner, and we hope to be talking to you in a short bit again.
All right. Very good. Have a good night.
You
Thanks,
too.
Chris.
Thank you, Commissioner. And just like that, MLL Commissioner Sandy Brown of the 2019 Major League Lacrosse schedule. You can check out the entire schedule on our website, collegelacrosse.com. The press release is there. Other schedules will be there as well. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at college_cross. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at CFJastrzemski. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. You know the whole deal. And as always, stay hydrated out there, everybody.
Bye, Felicia.